order Tender Ray Beef. No other beef so fresh can be so tender. Presents Hearts in Harmony, transcribed. K is for Kroger. C is for cut. B is for beef. KCB means Kroger cut beef. And Kroger cut beef means more meat for your money. Remember that fact, ladies. Remember that Kroger cut beef gives you more meat, less waste. And for this reason, before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy ends. Yes, that's before the meat is weighed and priced. And listen, you get the top U.S. government grades of beef. It's tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. So you get better value in top-grade beef. Let's take a Kroger cut chuck roast as an example. Before the roast is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess waste and stringy meat. You're bound to get a better value because you get more solid meat, only a minimum of bone. No matter which you prefer, steak or roast, you receive more meat, less waste in Kroger cut beef. But make that discovery for yourself. Visit your neighborhood Kroger store and make it a rule to buy Kroger cut beef. It gives you more meat for your money. And now, Hearts in Harmony. The trap that Penny Gibbs and Frank Carter, Penny's lawyer boss, set for swindler Robert Wilson didn't work as well as they thought it would. It's the day following Wilson's visit to Carter's house, and in the room where the unsuccessful meeting took place, young Carter says to Penny,
"The meeting here wasn't a complete failure, Penny. Wilson thinks I'm John Lester Adams, all right, and that I've collected an enormous amount of money for charity."
"Yeah, but will he come back the way he said he would?"
"I don't know. I can only wait and see."
"He said he'd come tonight, hmm?"
"Mm-hmm."
"That gives you plenty of time to think of some other plan to draw him out."
"Yeah, plenty of time. But right now, I don't know where my next idea is coming from."
"You'll think of something."
"Thanks."
"You aren't discouraged, are you? You shouldn't be."
"I am, Penny. This guy Wilson's nobody's fool."
"Neither are you, Frank."
"Yeah, but what happened when two nobody's fools got together? They got nowhere fast."
"Well, maybe you'll be a little smarter than Mr. Wilson this time."
"Being a little smarter isn't good enough. I gotta be a lot smarter."
"You will be a lot smarter. When he was here last night, he didn't tell you anything about himself, did he?"
"Oh, a little bit. Who he was, how he was trying to raise funds for a home for homeless children. But what he says can't be used against him in court. That would be a case of his word against mine, not evidence of fact. And it's factual evidence I need to send Wilson to jail and prove that he swindled poor old Mr. Ainsley."
"Oh, you said he had no identification, none of his credentials with him last night. I guess that'd be the evidence you need, hmm?"
"Part of it. If I can prove his credentials are forgeries. See, Penny, that shows how smart he is. Even though he had every reason to believe he was safe in coming here, he still took the precaution of carrying nothing that might incriminate."
"Yeah, but tonight he'll bring his credentials, won't he? He'll have to if he expects you to listen to his proposition."
"Sure he will, but the question is, will he show up again tonight?"
"As you said, we'll just have to wait and see."
"And maybe wait and wait."
"Oh, something tells me he'll show up all right. And that you'll be able to make him talk this time."
"I wish I had your confidence. And I wish I knew what to do if and when he does show up."
"You'll think of something. You ready for another meeting with him?"
"All set. The police will be here, hiding, of course, yes. And my recording machine is ready to roll. As soon as Wilson starts talking. Only thing lacking is Wilson."
"Yeah. Oh, golly, I just thought of something awful."
"What?"
"Well, suppose he calls you up and asks to meet you somewhere else."
"Well, I won't do it. After all, he's the one with a proposition. He has to come to me if he wants anything, and I'll tell him that."
"Yeah, I should think that'd make him suspicious, though."
"Gotta take that chance. This whole business is a chance, and a long-shot chance at that. All I'm sure of is that Wilson's a thief and a swindler, and that he either forced Mr. Ainsley to cut Mrs. Ainsley out of his will or forged Mr. Ainsley's name to a phony one. But being sure of something and being able to prove it are two different things."
"Oh, I wish there was something I could do to help."
"Oh, Penny, you've helped a lot. After all, it was your handling of Mrs. Peterson that frightened her into contacting Wilson and brought him here. I'd never have been able to find him without your help. You did your share in finding him. Now I've got to do my part, which means catching him."
"See, I wonder something. Wonder if I spoke to Mrs. Peterson again, if that might do any good."
"Well, I don't know what you'd say."
"Well, Mr. Wilson's suspicious of you. And has a hunch that this is a trick or a trap of some kind. And if he really thinks that, he won't show up again. But if Mrs. Peterson could tell him that the Ainslie investigation's been dropped, he might feel free to come here and talk rather freely.
Mm-hmm. And you could give Mrs. Peterson that idea, couldn't you?
I could certainly try.
Penny, that's a good idea. Why don't you? Phone her. You're doing something that ought to be a big help to me. Maybe, Penny, this is the little stroke of genius that might win the Ainslie case for us.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak to Mrs. Mabel Peterson, please?
This is Mrs. Peterson?
Hello, Mrs. Peterson, this is Penny.
Oh, yes.
I thought you'd like to know about the Ainslie case.
I'm sure I'm not interested.
No, but you will be in this. I think I owe you an apology, too.
It's a little late for that, Penny.
I wish you'd accept it, Mrs. Peterson. I've been very wrong, and I admit it. Mr. Carter's been wrong, too, and he admits it.
Wrong about what?
The Ainslie case. Uh-huh. We've both been sure that Mr. Ainslie was influenced into leaving his money to the Larivere Research Company and cutting his wife off without a cent, but we realize now there's absolutely no evidence to prove it.
Did you expect there would be?
We hoped there might be. Because Mr. Carter's just getting started, you know, and making a court case out of Mr. Ainslie's will would have been a big help in making a name for him. Anyhow, he's sorry he took the case now, and he's dropping the investigation.
I told you in the beginning that you and Mr. Carter were all wrong, Penny. You should have listened to me.
I know I should. I guess I was just stupid about the whole thing. A lot of people told me I was wrong, but I didn't believe them. I sure wish I had now.
Well, maybe now you'll know. Oh, excuse me a minute, Penny. There's someone at the door.
Yeah, of course.
I'm coming. Oh.
Hello, Mrs. Peterson.
Mr. Wilson, come in.
You alone?
Yes, I have someone on the phone. I'll be with you in just a few minutes.
Take your time. I have all afternoon.
Well, I have some interesting news for you, too.
Good.
Hello, Penny?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Peterson.
Sorry about the interruption.
That's all right. Will you accept my apology? Both Mr. Carter and I are awfully sorry we bothered you.
Yes, Penny, I'll accept it. But next time, don't be so sure of yourself till you know more of the facts.
No, I won't make the same mistake again. And thank you for forgiving me. And come over and see me sometime.
I'll do that, Penny. Goodbye.
Bye.
Mr. Wilson, did you hear who I was talking to?
Yes, I sure did. Penny Gibbs, wasn't it?
Yes, Penny Gibbs, the girl you wanted to kill.
I didn't want to kill her, just put a scare into her.
Well, even that wasn't necessary. Do you know what that phone call was about?
Asking more questions about the Ainslie case?
No, she called to tell me that Frank Carter has dropped the case for lack of evidence.
Dropped it?
Yes.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is interesting.
Now, do you think I told her too much about it?
I guess you didn't. Funny, but I was about to leave town without seeing that young Adams guy again.
Uh-huh.
Something told me he was pulling a gag of some kind for young Carter.
Well, you certainly don't think so now, do you?
Not if Carter's dropped the case. Adams must have $100,000 in the treasury of his organization. I'd like to have half of it for my orphan's home.
You mean for yourself?
Well, I'm an orphan. I'll see you later.
Where are you going, Mr. Wilson? Your meeting with Adams isn't until tonight.
I know it, but why wait that long? I don't have to worry about the Ainslie affair anymore. I think I'll run up and pay young Adams a little surprise visit right now and get this thing
over. Oh, golly.
Well, if that phone call of yours worked, and Mrs. Peterson sees Wilson today, Penny, I'll see Wilson tonight.
No, she seemed to believe me, Frank.
Why shouldn't she? You sounded very convinced.
Yeah, but will she be at... Uh-oh, who's that?
I don't know. I'm not expecting anybody. Maybe I'd better go to the window and look. I don't know why, but... Uh-oh.
Well, who is it?
It's Wilson. He's got a briefcase with him. That means he's here to talk
business.
But
he hasn't been an hour since I phoned Mrs. Peterson.
Well, he must have been there when she was talking to you. You better get out of here quick. Out the back way,
too. Yeah, okay, but what about the police?
Run down to the drugstore in the next block and phone Captain Harlow. He'll do the rest. Now, hurry.
All right, good luck.
I need more than good luck, Penny. What I need is a good $1 million idea. I still don't know how I'm going to get this guy to talk.
We seem to have talked about everything but what we ought to talk about, Mr. Adams. After 3 hours, I think we know each other well enough to do business, don't you?
I think you're right, Mr. Roberts. But you don't know all you ought to know about me, and I don't know whether or not I ought to tell you.
I know you're a philanthropist, Mr. Adams. and as much interested in helping me build an orphan's home as in putting your organization money into something else just as worthy.
That's very true. Except I'm not quite the philanthropist that you think.
No?
You know what I mean?
I hesitate to say.
Well, I hesitate to explain.
You don't mean we're in this business for the same reason, do you?
I hardly think so, Mr. Roberts, because you appear to be an honest man.
You have the nerve to admit that you're not?
Mm-hmm. Because I am absolutely sure that no one can prove anything against me.
Maybe I like you better now than I did before, Mr. Adams.
Well, it won't pay you to dislike me or to try to upset my little money-making scheme. My books show no evidence of juggling, though I've taken thousands from the organization's funds and I'll continue to take thousands more. So you see, I'm hardly willing to part with money that you might use legitimately.
How'd you like to make more money for yourself, Mr. Adams?
Oh, I do well enough as it is.
But two of us working together might make four times as much.
You want to remain legitimate, don't you?
I have a little surprise for you, too, Mr. Adams. Oh. I wanted you to give me money for my own personal use, not any orphan's home.
I don't believe it. You're working for a legitimate cause.
My credentials are forgeries, Mr. Adams.
What?
Believe me, I'm an old hand at this sort of thing. I could be a big help to you.
I'd have to make sure you've had experience.
I can name names.
Names don't mean anything to me.
No? Do you remember Sam Ainsley?
Vaguely.
Well, he signed over $10,000 to me because I forced him into it, Mr. Adams.
I think I remember something about that. His widow was cut off without a cent.
But only because I destroyed the will that left everything to her. Oh, I could name others too, Mr. Adams.
I wish you wouldn't call me Adams, Mr. Wilson.
What? What did you call me?
Wilson. That's your name, isn't it? It's not Wilson Roberts, as you say. It's Robert Wilson.
What makes you think so?
Because my name is Carter. Frank Carter. And
don't
reach for your gun, Mr. Wilson. Because if you look out the windows behind me and at the open door behind you, you'll see policemen who've beaten you to the draw.
Well, Frank Carter's trick really worked this time, didn't it? Will Wilson's admission send him to jail and give the aged and ailing Mrs. Helga Ainsley her much-needed money? Be sure to listen to the next dramatic episode of Hearts in Harmony. KCB. KCB. KCB means Kroger Cut Beef, and Kroger Cut Beef means more meat for your money. Right, Kroger Cut Beef gives you more meat, less waste. Because before the meat is weighed and priced, the Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess bone, excess waste, and stringy end. Take a Kroger cut ground steak or roast, for example. The Kroger method of cutting beef removes excess waste and stringy meat before the steak or roast is weighed and priced. You get a minimum of bone, and you get top U.S. government grades of beef. Beef that's tender, juicy, rich red, and marbled with just the right amount of flavory fat. But visit your neighborhood Kroger store and see for yourself. And remember, whether you buy a steak or a roast, Kroger Cut Beef gives you more meat for your money. Ladies, make plans right this instant to visit your neighborhood Kroger store, the only place you can buy Kroger Cut Beef. Surprise and delight your family with a delicious and juicy steak or roast. And remember, in Kroger Cut Beef, you get more meat for your money. Because the Kroger method of cutting beef gives you more meat, less waste. Make it a rule to get Kroger Cut Beef at your neighborhood Kroger store. Be sure to join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, for another thrilling transcribed chapter of Hearts in Harmony.